have convinced myself that I, quote unquote, don't have time to take 4 minutes, 7 minutes. Get off the damn phone, Diz, and you'd have your 4 minutes and your 7 minutes. Episode 1235 of Diz Runs Radio is a quick tip episode. Today's quick tip, start your runs strategically. Hey, y'all, real quick before we dive into today's episode of the show, if you're dabbling in heart rate training, maybe you want to come back to it after trying it in the past, struggling with it a little bit. If you've been around here very long, you know I talk about heart rate training a lot. We've got a little freebie, a little gift for you, if you will, that's got seven of the biggest keys, the biggest tips, the biggest lessons that I have learned over, goodness, what has it been now? Like 6-7 years that I've been, maybe not quite that long, maybe five, six years that I've been locked in on heart rate training. Anyway, I've been doing it for a minute. I'm not claiming to know everything about heart rate training and being the world's utmost expert. I do have an expert opinion on it, and I do have some lessons that I've learned, I don't want to say the hard way, but through experience over the years that I'm sharing with you for free over at dizruns.com/heart rate tips. It's like an 8-slide, 10-slide page, whatever you want to call it, PDF download with some information, some things that you might find helpful, some links to better resources, scientific studies, things of that nature, that will hopefully help to answer some of your heart rate training related questions. And ultimately, you know, if it's something that you want to continue to do, help you stay the course and see the fruits of your labor, which, I'm biased here. I'll admit my bias here, but I think that, as far as I see it, it's the best training philosophy out there. In general, I know that's a broad statement. That's painting with a broad brush. But it works. It works because it embraces our physiology. So anyway, if you want to check it out, it's up to you. It's free. dizruns.com/heartratekeys. dizruns.com/heartratekeys. All one word. Get it. Check it out. Let me know what you think. So today, talking about how we start a run and doing so strategically. Because I know that we've talked about, you know, kind of getting off to a good start on race day. And obviously, depending on the race, you know, there's different strategies for how to start. If it's a shorter race, like a 5K or something even shorter than that, you know, you can't really dilly-dally at the start of a shorter race. You know, if you're trying to race it hard, right, if you're going for a PR, whatever that looks like, you kind of have to be pretty much on pace from the beginning, or you're going to have a hard time making up the ground later in the race. There's just not enough miles. Versus, you know, with something like a half marathon or a marathon where you're going to be out there for at least a couple hours, maybe 3, 4, 5 hours. You know, you can be a little bit more conservative in your start, with plenty of time to chip away at, you know, whatever time that you may have given up a little bit in the first couple few miles that prevents you from going out too fast. That's ultimately what we want to avoid on race day, especially for the longer distance things, is going out too fast and then the proverbial blow up somewhere, you know, in the final third of the race where you just run out of gas because you burn too much too quickly too early in the race. But how much do you think about, you know, the starts for your just regular runs? You know, whether it's a random Tuesday, you know, a weekend long run, a speed workout. But, you know, like I said, I feel like I know that we've talked on here about strategic starts on race day. But I also know on here we haven't talked about strategic starts for runs in general. Is that something to even think about, something to even worry about, or do we just go out and run? Well, that's what we're going to dive into today, because I think that, if I'm honest, I've given short shrift to how I start my runs. There certainly isn't much strategery that goes into how I start my runs these days. Like you want to know how I start my runs? Like 99% of them, it's this, right? It's put my shoes on, and apparently there's been some discussion after last week's Q&A about, you know, is it sock, sock, shoe, shoe, or sock, shoe, sock, shoe? I still haven't figured out what I do, but, you know, whatever. However it works, I eventually somehow get my shoes and socks both on, one on each feet, or, you know, on both feet, or however I'm trying to say. I get a sock and a shoe on each foot in some order, some form, some fashion. Take a couple of sips of water, put the dogs on their leash, and then, you know, out the door. Maybe you know, cue up a podcast, play a couple games on the phone or whatever. But ultimately, like There's no thought. There's no strategy. If I'm honest, and you know, when have I shied away from throwing myself under the bus? I'm not even a regular practitioner of the lunge matrix like I used to be. And I should get better at that, because I think the lunge matrix is an ideal way to lead into a run. It really is really good. So if you're doing that, keep it up. if you've heard me talk about it in the past, keep going with it. It didn't make the move with me from Florida, quite honestly. Like that's where it somehow it fell apart. Somewhere between Polk County, Florida and Columbia County, Georgia, I lost the lunge matrix and I haven't been able to get back on track there. But point being, there's no strategy in how I start my runs. And maybe I cut myself some slack with that, because as I said at the beginning, I mean, heart rate training is kind of my jam. And so, I'm not out there trying to set speed records most days. I'm not out there trying to push the pace. I've got two dogs with me most days, or at least probably three quarters of the days, because Rebecca takes them at least once during the week for me so that I can do a speed workout on the days that I do that. But again, you know, we having the dogs means that we're going to stop a couple times, usually in the first mile and a half, because, it's a rare occasion that their bathroom needs are synced up to both only need to stop once. We've got to stop four times so that each one can pee once and each one can number two once. So that ultimately helps to elongate the warm up. But again, there's no strategy there. That's just how it works when I set out for a run. So as I was thinking about this, and full disclosure, somebody had asked about this, you know, how do I start my runs a little bit more intelligently or a little bit more strategic? I can't remember the exact words, but the struggle was, you know, kind of like we've talked about for race day, we go out too fast on my easy runs, and then it either gets too hard and I push too hard, or I end up walking, or I cut the run short because I'm out of gas. You know, how do I help to improve that? And I think the biggest thing that we can do in those types of situations is to have a little bit of a plan when we start, have a little bit of strategic thinking before we head out for a run, and that can allow us to shape the warm up or the how we start our run accordingly. Because, you know, let's not pretend like all runs are created equal. They're not. You know, you've got your easy runs. Hopefully you've got a bunch of those. That's the I would advise that being the bulk of your training diet, but you're probably going to do some speed workouts once in a while. You might have a long run mixed in there every week or so. And each of those types of runs is going to be a little bit different in terms of what you're asking of your body, what you need to prepare yourself for. And too often, I will admit, I just kind of go through the motions. Even on a speed workout day, like everything's kind of the same. So I think the first thing that we should do, that I should do, that I would encourage you to do, if you're trying to start your runs intelligently, strategically, to give yourself the best chance of having a good solid run, whether it's a 3 miles on a Tuesday or you know, 20 miles on a long run or a speed workout or whatever, is to identify first and foremost what are we trying to do today, right? Is it an easy run, a recovery run, just a kind of a base building, aerobic, zone two, low heart rate, whatever you want to call it? Is that the purpose of the run? Is it a speed workout day? Are we doing some high intensity intervals? Are we doing hill repeats? Is it a tempo run? Is it something that's a hard workout where obviously we want the quality to be there in terms of we want the effort to line up with the workout that we're doing. But we're also looking for the results, right? We're pushing our bodies. We're certainly pushing a lot harder on a speed workout day. I mean, kind of by definition, than on an easy run, right? A hard workout is harder than an easy run. I think that's self-explanatory enough. And if it's a long run, you know, are we setting ourselves up to kind of get out there and just cruise for whatever your long run duration is? Is it an hour? Is it 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 8 miles, 20 miles, 5 miles, anywhere in there that would be classified as a long run for you? How are you easing into that run or kind of knowing that's the point of today's run is to build that endurance, right? That's what we're aiming for a long run. Because knowing what you're trying to achieve in the run, and you don't need to know all the way down to the cellular level. If that's your thing, you know, you do you. I'm not here to yuck your yum or anything like that. But I don't care for myself what's going on at the cellular level. Like, I mean, I kind of do, but we don't need to be that granular with identifying the point of the run. But just being aware, what am I trying to achieve today? Am I hammering? Am I building endurance by going long, or am I just focusing on a base building type of recovery, easy run type of day? Getting clear on what we're trying to achieve. And that may be pretty simple because your training schedule may say, you know, or if you're like me, you're like, yeah, well, 95% of the time it's an easy run. So, you know, easy run. But just being clear on what the point of the run is can help you to start your run strategically. And speaking of starting your run strategically, your run kind of starts before you start running, right? And it's not just putting the shoes on. It's not just going to the bathroom. It's not just putting the leash on the dogs. But, you know, this is where the lunge matrix might fit in. Some type of dynamic movement might fit in. It's easy to not look at that as part of your run. And when we're strapped for time, which is maybe part of the reason that I've let myself get off the hook on the lunge matrix, is I have convinced myself that I, quote unquote, don't have time to take 4 minutes, 7 minutes. Get off the damn phone, Diz, and you'd have your 4 minutes and your 7 minutes. But I've convinced myself I don't have time to do the lunge matrix, but that's a great way to start your run. You're moving your body, you're warming up, and especially for those of us, and myself is very much included here, that are early morning runners, right? It's one thing if you've been up on your feet, if you run after work, after you know, just midday, whatever, you've been up for a little while, you've been moving around, you know, you've just gone about your day for 5 hours, 7 hours, 10 hours. Like, your body's a little more warmed up and loose at that point than it is if you've been up for a grand total of like 7 minutes, you know, before you're getting ready to head outside the door. But in either event, it's not a bad idea to get some movement that's a little bit more run specific, right? And if you're talking about an easy run, you know, in theory, you don't need to do as much. Now, am I advising you to not do your lunges or some jumping jacks or some squats or just some high knees or butt kicks or anything like that before an easy run? No, I'm not advising you to not do that. I'm being a hypocrite as per usual because I don't do those things anymore. Need to get back on it. Please hold me accountable to it. But those things are going to be helpful, right? You're going to loosen up your joints, lubricate your joints, make sure your muscles and tendons have a little spring to them, which is going to help to reduce the risk of injury, help to improve just the how your body feels during and after your run. All those things are important. But if it's quote unquote just, if it's just a few easy miles, you know, your warm up, when you do start running, like, you really just ease into it. You know, you're not trying to drop the hammer right away. Like I said, maybe you got three or four dog stops over that first mile and a half anyway, so that you never really, you know, you kind of can do a little bit of movement while the dogs are doing their thing. But you could make an argument that you don't need as much of that pre-run warm-up starting process as you do on a day when you're hammering. Because when you're hammering, you know, like you're going to be pushing. If you're doing some type of hard intervals, obviously you're pushing hard, but what I think we fail to recognize, even though maybe we know it if we stop and think about it, but at least I don't think about it as much, is that, you know, on a hard workout day, how much fuller range of motion do you have at the hips, at the knees, at the ankles than you do when you're keeping it nice and easy? I mean, I'm going to speak for you a lot. It doesn't matter if it's a hard, you know, 1 minute, 2 minute repeat or a 100 yard repeats or quarter mile repeat. It doesn't matter if it's that, if it's some type of hill work, tempo run, fartlek run, progression run, it doesn't matter. If you're pushing the intensity anywhere up there close to hard, your stride is going to be longer because that's just naturally going to happen. You're going to be generating more force. You're going to be stressing your tendons more. You're going to be flexing your ankle more, which is going to have more spring in your Achilles, which, oh, by the way, you negate that when you use the super shoes. So you're actually like, what's the point of the super shoes? Another conversation for another day. But you're going to be pushing your body through fuller ranges of motion. You're going to be putting more stress on your muscles and your tendons. So yeah, like getting a little bit more of a warm up, doing some squats, doing some lunges, doing some jumping jacks, leg swings, butt kicks, high knees, whatever, anything like that that's a dynamic movement before you actually start running is going to more than likely improve the quality of your workout. It's also going to help to reduce your risk of injury. And again, especially for us morning runners, right? If you're a morning runner, he says mostly to himself, do some type of freaking warm-up. That's not just your warm-up run. Do some dynamic movements before you start running. All right. For a long run, kind of similar to the easy run scenario, because you're just going to probably ease in for that first mile or two. You're still going to get benefit from doing something, whether it's walking lunges, again, a few squats, whatever. We're not going for like a killer strength workout here, but just do something to get your body moving so that when you start running, you know, you're a little bit less Tin Man and a little bit more well-oiled machine as you start moving. And then, of course, that's when you start to get into the actual run itself. You get into the actual warm-up part of your run, which for no matter what you're doing, whether it's an easy run, whether it's a long run, whether it's a workout run, I mean, I would hope that you're going to try to take that first, whether it's a mile, whether it's first 2 miles, whether it's first 8 minutes, 10 minutes, depending on your pace and how much time you have, whatever. But like, really give yourself some grace to ease into any type of run, because that's where we hopefully, and I do think that I do this a little bit, maybe not as much as I should, but I'm not completely negligent here. That first mile or two is where you're really kind of checking in with how your body feels, right? Does everything feel good? Got a little hitch in my giddy up, you know, got a little tight spot, need a little oil can. That first mile or two of a warm-up really helps to make sure that, hey, we're good to go, right? And if it's an easy run day, you know, maybe that warm-up isn't dramatically a different pace than the rest of the run, but it just allows you to ease into whatever kind of feels pretty comfortable, and then you just cruise on from there, right? If it's a speed workout day, you're using that warm-up to kind of, again, loosen everything up a little bit, make sure you're extending on, you know, adding to whatever lunges or squats or things that you might hopefully did before the run. But you're really want to make sure that everything feels good, right? Because if you got a little hitch in your giddy up on a speed workout day and then you go out and start hammering, there's no guarantees that you're going to cause yourself a problem, but it certainly is more likely, you know, because just because of the force you're exerting, because the demands you're placing upon your body, if there's a chink in the armor, and you put stress on that chink, well, then guess what's going to happen? The chainmail is going to break. You're going to have, you know, that arrow is going to stick through you. You know, you're going to be in trouble. So you want to make sure that you're doing that in the warm up, kind of just doing a once over. How am I feeling? Another thing that you might want to consider as part of that warm up mile or two on a speed workout day is some sort of little pickup, little speed burst. You might call it a stride. And this isn't like the workout itself, but you know, if your warm up mile or two is at a 4 or 5 out of 10 intensity level, and you're doing some quarter mile repeats where you're going to be at 8.5, 9 out of 10 for your workout, maybe let's bridge that gap a little bit. Maybe not for a full quarter of a mile, you know, nothing that's really going to take away from your ability to have the energy you need to go out there and hammer. But jumping from 4 to 9 is better than jumping from 0 to 9. But, you know, there's still some risk there. So unless your plan is to use the first repeat to go from 4 to 6.5, 7, and then from 7 to 9, maybe mix into that warm-up mile or two, just a little bit of faster turnover for just 10 seconds, right? A little pickup and ease back down. Do 2 or 3 of those to just kind of help loosen things up. Open your stride. Again, with the idea of making sure we're good to go. Now, if it's a long run day, I'll tell you what. I've been getting myself a little bit in trouble on my long runs lately because I've been breaking up my long runs a lot more often. I've been doing, you know, 6 miles through the neighborhood with the dogs. And then I usually get in the car and go to a trail somewhere and get another, you know, somewhere between 6 and 8 and 10 and 12 miles, something like that. So I end up with, you know, somewhere in that 14 to 16 mile range most of the time, but it's usually in two distinct runs. It's the run with the dog. I mean, not distinct in terms of a different part of the day, But, you know, there's usually a 30 to 40 minute gap between when I finish with the dogs and when I start the next part of the run. And one thing that I think I've noticed is that I push a little bit. I mean, I don't push hard, but I probably take that first 6 miles with the dogs through the neighborhood a little bit faster than I would if I wasn't planning to have that 30 minute break, right? If I was just to go out and run 14 miles on a long run on the trail, I can almost guarantee my first 6 miles would be a lot slower. Maybe not a lot, but they would be noticeably slower than they are when I do 6 miles with the dogs, then get in the car and go. Point being, maybe you set out and use your warm up mile or two for your long run to double check, kind of making sure you're keeping your pace in check, right? Don't let yourself get started a little bit too fast, because then even if you don't blow up, you know, it makes that end of that long run suck pretty bad. If you burn a little too much energy early, get a little bit fatigue built up before you're even halfway through, and you don't have that race day adrenaline to push you through, right? So maybe you just focus on really keeping the warm up nice and easy, so that when you do settle into pace, you're not going maybe a little bit too fast, which is something that I've gotten myself in trouble with. So maybe you plan a couple walk breaks in that warm up. Maybe you just keep a closer eye on your watch, and you know, if your normal pace might be 10 minute pace, maybe for your warm up you're going, all right, let's try to run about 11 minute pace for the warm up. You know, and if you're 10:45, whatever, no big deal. But, you know, don't let yourself run that first mile at 9:30, right? Because then the later part of the long run could be a little bit more of a slog. Ultimately, like I said at the beginning, I think a lot of us, especially if you've been running for a while, are pretty good about having some strategy on race day, right? Having our plan in place in terms of how we want to execute the start of a race, what we're doing before the race, as far as warming up, as far as dynamic movements, all of those, at least I know that I do, and I know a lot of you do, right? Maybe not everybody, but I think that's fairly common. Again, especially if you've been running for 3 or 4 or 5 years, you've got a handful of races, like you figured some of those things out, maybe the hard way, maybe you're just hearing about it now for the first time. But I think having a little bit of that strategy into our daily runs, there's a reason we do it on race day, right? Because it helps us. It helps us, you know, doesn't guarantee success, but it helps set us up for success. You know, having that plan on race day keeps us from going out too fast, keeps us also from going out too slow. Make sure that our body's primed and ready to go. Well, why don't we do some of that on a random Tuesday, on a random Friday, Saturday, Sunday, versus only on race day? You know, I think being strategic with how we start our runs, and this, again, I am not strategic with how I start my runs. It's something that I can absolutely stand to do better with. I don't think that it takes that much brain power and attention and focus, right? It's not something we need to dedicate hours to, coming up with a plan to how to start each run. But recognizing what the point is, what we're trying to accomplish for the run, you know, starting the run before the run with some type of dynamic movement, stretches, warm-ups, you know, and again, not like long static stretches, but some type of dynamic, gentle dynamic movement to loosen up our body, to lube up our joints, and then really, really embracing that first warm-up mile or two, and maybe tweaking a little bit based on how we're feeling. Tweaking both that warm-up, but also maybe tweaking the run. You know, maybe you're halfway through that warm-up and you're like, I don't have speed work in me today. So don't set yourself up for a shitty workout. Just, you know, pull the plug. Not pull the plug on the run necessarily, although maybe that's the call. But maybe it's a, hey, let's just cruise today. Let's just keep it easy. Maybe mix a couple strides in at the end. So we still get a little bit of turnover, but like if you know it's going to be a bad run as far as quality of workout, you can figure that out during the warm up pretty well by seeing how your body feels. Anyway, just some things to think about when it comes to strategically starting your runs, because at the end of the day, you know, starting a run perfectly doesn't guarantee that the run's going to be great. Stumbling out of the gate doesn't mean that the run's going to be terrible. But the more we can do to kind of set ourselves up strategically at the start, the more likely we are to have more good runs than bad. And, you know, whatever you're working towards, whatever your goals might be, think it's probably safe to say that we would all prefer to have more quality runs, more enjoyable runs, more good runs than runs at the other end of the spectrum. So there you go. A little bit more strategy at the start. Hopefully that can help you have more good runs. What do you think? What do you do to start your run strategically? How do you make sure that you're setting yourself up for as much success, again, on a random Thursday than just on race day? Let me know. At DizRuns on all things social media, DizRuns@gmail.com if you want to shoot me an email. And of course, if you head over to the blog post for today, DizRuns.com/1235. DizRuns.com/1235. Got a little bit of a general write-up on the post. Of course, we got some memes and some GIFs, some nonsense in there as well. Included in there, or I guess at the end of all of that, is the comment section. Scroll on down to the bottom and leave your thoughts and feedbacks on today's episode there, if that is where the best place is for you to let me know what you thought about this episode and what you do at the start. Of course, we still have the carrier pigeon option. We still have the smoke signal option. Tap it out in Morse code. You know, whatever works best for you to communicate with me and let me know your thoughts. We'll always, you know, throw it out there, right? You know, send your homing pigeons here to Columbia County. We'll, you know, I'll try not to shoo them all away, at least until I get the message first. But let me know what you think. Always love to hear from y'all. And if you want some help, some guidelines, some suggestions to help make heart rate training a little bit smoother for you, DizRuns.com/heart rate tips is the link. I'm sorry, I said heart rate tips. I believe. Let me double check this here. I need to get my ish straight. It is heart rate. Where's the right spot? Diz, come on, get your ish together. Heart rate keys, not heart rate tips. Heart rate keys. DizRuns.com/heart rate keys. All spelled out one word. HEART, in case you don't know how to spell heart. RATE, in case you're struggling with rate. And then keys, KEYS. All one word, no spaces, no underscores, no tips in there at all. Just DizRuns.com/heart rate keys. Get yourself my top seven suggestions, my top seven keys to successfully integrating heart rate training into your routine and hopefully seeing the benefits. You will see the benefits. You just got to stick with it. And sometimes it takes longer than we'd like, but hopefully I can shorten that learning curve for you and help you get your results a little bit quicker. What will also help you get your results a little bit quicker is being strategic with how you start your run. So hopefully today's was useful. If it was helpful, if you have a friend that struggles a little bit with the start of their runs, hit that share button, spread the word. Always appreciate it when you do that. And until next time, y'all be well. Take good care. Thanks again for listening. And we'll talk soon, all right? See you.